All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dad Talks. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. And as always, I'm excited that you're listening. I'm excited that you're here. I'm also excited because this is the first time I'm trying a video podcast. If you're listening to it, like, what are we talking about? Well, go check it out. The link is in the description of this episode. You can go watch it. You can go see the quality that I tried. I'm trying, right? Something new. We'll figure it out. If you know me, perfectionism, it's a struggle. This has taken a year to get to this video. That's how bad of a perfectionist I am. So anyways, here's what I want to talk to you. Today, we're talking about choosing our attitude specifically within our suffering. It's this theme, this idea that I've had for several years, really since my divorce and just everything that went down during that time. And it's something I've just been working on. That's also just come up recently, not due to anything. It's just been in some of the sermons I've preached on, some of the stuff I've written on, and just some of the books I've had. And so just kind of compiling it all together of how do we choose our attitude in the midst of suffering? Or another way that I've had it, how do we find the good within the bad? So there's a quote from a guy whose book I just finished reading, which is I highly recommend it. The book is Man's Search for Meaning. It's by Viktor Frankl. I can put a link in the description as well for you. Great book. And I want to share this quote and then break it down for you. So here's the quote from Viktor. He says this. He says, if it referring to suffering, if suffering is avoidable, the meaningful thing to do is remove its cause. If, on the other hand, one cannot change a situation that causes suffering, he can still choose his attitude. All right, so if suffering is avoidable, do something to remove it. If it's not, if you can't change the situation, then choose your attitude. That's the idea. Now, this guy, Viktor Frankl, is someone who knew a lot about suffering. Viktor was a psychiatrist, and then the war happened. World War II happened. He was a Jew. He is one of the Jews who experienced just the horrendous, man, stuff of Nazi concentration camps. He went through that. He shares it, some of things that happened to him in part of this story, only from the point, or for the reason, I guess you'd say, to help us understand how he's, as a psychiatrist, navigated the suffering, the pain, the death, just all that they went through in those camps, and how to make sense of it all. And that's where this book came from, right? He was, before the Nazi camps, was really going, how do I begin to find meaning in life? And then now goes, okay, how do I find meaning in the worst situation ever? And then the end of the book is, okay, now the suffering, how do I begin to make sense of it all and find meaning in my life? And so, yeah, his book, as I said, is just all about finding meaning in the midst of some sort of suffering. And again, like, this dude found meaning in some of the darkest days in human history. So Viktor, right, his whole point was that you can choose your attitude. And so this idea, this concept of choosing your attitude, is one of the most freeing concepts that I've ever come to in my life, figured out, right? Amid some trauma or world-shattering incident, the only thing you can control is you, is your attitude, how you respond to it, right? Chaos and rage ensue when we think that we can change what has happened, right? Now, the suffering, it may be from our own doing. It may be someone else's, stuff that they did that caused the suffering. But either way, right, the solution is the same. Focus on you. And here's this thing as process through this, to help make sense of this. I used to try to control the externals to fix me internally. Right? So the externals to fix the internal. I had to flip it to where I had to fix the internals to take care of the external, to be able to get through the external. Right? You understand the difference, where I was trying to control the situations outside of me instead of what was happening inside of me. And that's where it was absolute chaos. absolute chaos. It doesn't work, right? I mean, if you've experienced it, you know. If you haven't, I'll just go ahead and tell you. It makes no sense to try to control the things outside of you because you can't. And they just blow up, right? So we'll get into that a little bit more. But, you know, this idea came to me as well, this illustration, this thought is, how do you hold on to water, right? How do you pick up water? It's with, right, open hands, making a cup with a gentle grip. You can lift some water out of a river, lake, pond, whatever, right? Because if you try to squeeze water, it's going to run right out of your hands, right? You can't just grab water because it doesn't work that way. And so I thought about it. It's like the same idea with our suffering and the pain and the chaos that we have is that the more we try to just squeeze the sense out of it or in the truth and answers and just grasp and hold on tightly to, I don't want things to change. If I can just hold it all together, I'll fix it. But the opposite happens to where you squeeze it and it all just runs through your fingers. It all runs through your hands. It just is chaos. The only way to make it through, right, is we step back and you hold the situation like you would water with open hands and a gentle grip. Or when you do that, right, you gain a new perspective. You see the suffering. You almost kind of step outside of it and go, okay, here's what's happening. Here's how I can make sense of it all. And you can begin to accept what has happened. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong, whatever. It's just going, okay, this is what it is. How do I begin to move forward? Right? So we can't control what happens to us. We can't always control that, right? But we can control how we will respond. So how are we going to respond? For me, as a Christian, the answer for me is found in the following verse. And I'm just stick with me. If you're like, I don't believe in Christianity or any of that stuff, I've got you. I'm gonna respond to that. But let me just share the verse that I turn to that really sums up how do I now respond to suffering, to things that are out of control that I can't make sense of. So the verse is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says this, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So three things there, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks. So again, going back to where you're like, I'm not a Christian. Or maybe you were like me, a Christian, like, forget it. I'm so done. Some of you may be thinking like, I don't need God. You got this, right? I can make this happen myself. Recently, I was listening to a podcast that Granger Smith was on. And he said this line that stuck with him. He said, self-help can only go so far. Because if you begin to think about it, right? Self-help can only go so far. Why? Because who is helping you? Self. You are helping yourself. And so the question I have then is, what if the issue is beyond you and your help? What if it's beyond yourself? What if you're at the point where you're like, I just want to watch those who hurt me burn? I know that's graphic, but okay, let's be honest. If some of us have gone through trauma and trials, you go, I want those people to burn, right? Justice. That was me. For the things that happened to me, it was like, I want revenge. I want those people to suffer as I suffered and feel the pain, right? God, send your wrath upon him. So I knew, right? Okay, I need God's help. I also knew, okay, there's that issue, but I also knew that as I tried to fix the externals and keep everything from collapsing, it was crushing me. And I've shared, right, to where I lost my marriage, I lost my job. Because of those, and not excusing my behavior, right, I ended up in jail. I was arrested because I let my anger explode. All of that just crushing me, and I just blew up because I was trying to control everything out here instead of looking inside of me going, what do we need to deal with, JT, to fix yourself, right? So that I've been there to that point where, like, I can't help myself. There's nothing that I can do to fix me. that's where I said, there has to be something beyond me to help me. Where I go, I need God's help. And I get it. Some of you, again, may be thinking, oh, God's your crutch, or you're weak because you had to go to some deity to save you. That's not how I see it. I see it as strength. Because I admitted that I need help, because I can't do this on my own. I needed God's help. Not because I was weak, not because I was God's a crutch. I needed it because that was the only way I was going to find peace and healing. I needed someone who was outside looking in, right? Outside of what I was going through, to help me understand perspective. And you go, okay, that can be a counselor. That can be a friend. Absolutely. And I did counseling, and I had friends that helped me. But there's part of my heart and my soul where I'm like, God, I cannot forgive. I cannot let this go without your help. And for me, I go, who better to ask help from than the one who created me? And the thing that began to allow me to be able to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks is the fact that I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. I still have no idea. And I probably never will, right? Some of it's the plan's beginning to make sense. But I know God knows the plan. And that's where I got to where I'm like, God, I can't do anything else. I have to give this to you. The only thing that I can do right now in this moment where I choose my attitude to say, I trust you. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm upset at what is happening, but I trust you. I choose the faith, to choose faith to follow you. And that's it. Right? So this idea of rejoicing always, praying continually, giving thanks, how do we break those down? What does it mean? Well, the rejoice always, I mean, think about it. Can you rejoice always and give thanks all the time? No. It's not one of those things, you know, I think about the meme with the cartoon dog standing in front of the dumpster fire, you know, and he's smiling. That's not what it means to rejoice always. It's not one of those people that are just obnoxiously happy all the time, even though, yeah, the world is on fire. That's not it. Because there is an issue that we can do. The fact that some people stay happy all the time to avoid it. Like, well, if I get sad and give into it, that means it's bad. Or some Christians, right, go, well, God's got it. God has me. I'm good. I don't even have to do it. I don't even have to worry about it. True. Yes, God's going to handle it. But I think it's dangerous when we don't go, okay, this is sad, mourn the loss, feel that pain, and go, okay, now God, like, I need your help. There's a danger in avoiding anything bad that's happening by just going, yeah, let's be positive and happy and walk off and do whatever. That's not what it means to rejoice always. The idea is that you begin to look for the good and the bad, right? Be able to rejoice always means you choose your attitude, right? Because even if the good is barely perceivable at first, you begin to look for it, of saying, right, where you're holding that suffering, that pain in your hands, like you're holding water cupped in your hands, you look at it and go, what good is there to be grateful for? Some of it may be hard, and it may take a while. That's what leads into the next parts where you have to pray continually, right? Sometimes, and that's what I did, where I just prayed, and I still do it today. There's things where I'm like, God, I have no idea what's happening. I'm trying to find the good in this situation. All I can do is just pray and say, God, help me out. That's it, right? It's just pouring in or praying to God that he can help me out. So rejoicing always is just this idea to find the good within the bad. And there's this idea that's from the Stoics. And I don't know if Stoics did first Christianity. They say the same thing, but I just like the way this is said. And it's from Ryan Holiday. And again, I've referenced his books are great. But the idea is this from the Stoics is amor fati, which is the love of fate. And the idea is cheerfulness in all situations, especially the bad ones. And I say, do the Stoics get this from Christianity, or did Christianity use the culture and pull it in and help them, you know, say this is a biblical truth? You see it played out in Christianity. That's another side. Nope. But the idea is, right, rejoice always. Paul being content in any situation. Come on. You know, chicken or egg. I don't know. Side note. So let's get off that trail and come back. Amor fati. Love of fate. And this is what Ryan Holiday says this. He says, because this thing happened, then it was meant to happen, and I'm glad it happened when it did, and I meant to make the best of it. That's the cheerfulness in all situations. I like that, right? This happened. It was meant to happen. I'm glad it happened when it did. And now I'm meant to make the best of it. That's a different view on our suffering, right? I mean, think about it going, okay, this was meant to happen. And for me, I'm, okay, I don't know where Ryan's beliefs are. I don't know if he's a Christian. This isn't from a Christian perspective of what Ryan says. But for me, I can take that and go, okay, I can understand this happened and it was meant to happen. The meaning was part of God's plan. You go, oh, God planned these terrible things. That's not what I'm saying. I know it happened. Sin, bad things happen because of sin, right? And I know that it happened when it did because God's got a plan for it. And I know he's going to make the best of it. He's going to pull, you know, bring good from it. And it's not necessarily my good because there's things right now to where I'm like, God, this stinks. I want something different, but I have to trust you. So, right, for me, how do I begin to choose my attitude is I rejoice always, meaning, okay, God, help me see the good in this so that I can give you thanks in all the circumstances, right? You begin to see they're all three connected. You know, like that little infinity circle I drew on the video? Some of you didn't see that. And if I had cool graphics, I could have somebody put that in there. That'd be awesome, but that's not going to happen. Anyways, right, so to be able to find the good in all circumstances and give thanks in all circumstances, we have to pray continually. And I know some of you may be like, you can't pray continuously. Simply, let me put it this way. So prayer, I'm going to use the definition from Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard says this, says prayer is talking with God about what we are doing together. So prayer is just me and God talking about what we are going to do together here on the on earth. That's it. So if that's the idea, is that I'm just talking with God, what's going on? You begin to understand how you can pray continually. The idea is that God is at the forefront of your mind and is almost this filter that everything goes through. For me, the illustration, I think about it like our Wi-Fi, to where your router, right, is it has the internet, the capability to go into the world of the internet, the World Wide Web at any time. You're not on it all the time, right? But it's there ready to help you out. That's the same idea, to where when I hop on my phone or my computer or whatever, I'm connected to the internet and then have that connection. That's the same with God. God is always there. God is always present, ready to be connected with us at any time. So as long as, right, we keep him at the forefront of our mind and the decisions in the life that as we go through our day saying, God, what would you have me do, right? It's not like, God, should I get chicken nuggets or a Big Mac? It's saying, God, hey, I'm in the situation. This is happening. What should I do? Help me process through this. What would you have me do in the situation, right? It's that idea that we're allowing God to be a part of the daily conversation, right? That everything we're going is filtered through him. So if we're rejoicing always, the way we're able to do it, and the way I did, right, is to pray continually. So where I'm communing with God, saying, God, help me out in this moment. Help me process through what is going on. And if we're looking for the good, if we're praying to God, then, right, the next part where you can give thanks in all circumstances. And there's a commentary I had on this that I like, that it says this, says, we don't give thanks for everything, but in everything. Right, you catch that? We don't give thanks for everything, but we give thanks in everything. That's huge, because you're not going to be thankful for everything. Right? You're going to be in situations you go, this is awful. I am not thankful at all for this. But you can go, I can be thankful in this situation. And how can you give thanks in all circumstances? It's exactly what we just talked about. By praying to God to show you some good. Saying, God, I don't know what good is here. I don't know what is happening. Can you show something to me? And the easiest way to do that is to practice gratitude. For me, I've done practice for a while and I got rid of it and I've brought it back in the last, really, this is January 2024, which is insane that we're here. I started in January again of, at the end of my night, just write two or three things that I'm grateful for. That's it. Of just simple things that I can say, thank you for this today. And sometimes they're fantastic of like, oh man, I just landed a huge job or somebody called me, it was great. And other times it's like, cool, we had sunshine today, and I, you know, got to see my kids for an extra 5 minutes. Like, just simple things. Because if we're able to be grateful, right, we can give thanks. Because when we're ungrateful, what happens? When we're ungrateful, what happens? Where do our eyes go? Well, it's focusing on the problems, right? We bring our eyes onto the problem and the, our inability to control the situation, right? It's I begin to fix my eyes on the externals and going, oh my goodness, this is awful. Why is my life this way? Woe is me. I'm the poor victim. This stinks, right? And the issue is we forget what we have. We compare our life to others around us. We compare our life to those who might have it better or might not be facing it or going, well, why is this happening to me? And they're in the same situation. Why do they get this? Right? It's just, you become ungrateful. And when you become ungrateful, you're not rejoicing. You're definitely not praying. You're more than likely just yelling at God, and you're not giving thanks for anything because you're just so mad. But when we're grateful, right, it takes our eyes off those things, focuses it back on really us and our situation, what we have. I'm going, here's what we got. Okay, I can be grateful. Why? Because maybe it's, hey, I didn't yell as much today, or maybe I just some small win, and it focuses it back on the internals instead of the externals. And you can begin to move forward, and you can begin to say, thank you, God, for this, right? You've shown me some good, and that good then can move you on. And then you build upon that good and get motivation, and you get through it. And you look back 3 or 4 years later, go, holy cow, I made it through what I thought was the worst event that has ever happened in my life. Thought it was, but I made it through. Still here. Gosh, now it makes me think of, what's that, Sing? Yeah, movie. I'm still, anyways, let's not get into my singing. So let's wrap this up. So the thing, right, I talked about, the quote from Victor of suffering, if it's unavoidable, and you can't change it, you can change you. You can choose your attitude. You can choose to see the good in the bad. And for me, right, this is where self-help books, they're fantastic, they're great, but they fall short. Because there are some things where you're like, I need something, someone outside of me, someone who knows me so good that they can see what is happening and they can give me some help in this moment. Right? That's where then, for me, my faith comes in. Say, God, I don't know how to find the good right now. I'm going to keep praying until you show me it so I can be thankful and I can be grateful, because that's the only way I'm going to get through this, to where you begin to help me understand maybe what's going on, or if nothing else, just continue to make me better. So one last illustration, as I was thinking about this, I don't know if anybody else as a kid, maybe you still do them, the Where's Waldo books, right? The search and find that guy. I remember doing those in school. I hated it because there's one kid who could always find them. Like, I can't find them. Or you'd find, I don't know what the guy's name is that's in the yellow and black, or the wizard, or the dog. Like, you could find everybody else but Waldo. But now, okay, picture the Where's Waldo books. The scenes are just chaos. There's so much going on. Why? Because it's trying to distract you from being able to find Waldo. But then what happens when you find Waldo? Everything just like goes away. All focus is in, and you instantly find him every time. That's the idea. To where when you're looking at that Where's Waldo book, you find Waldo, you begin to block out all the noise and everything else, and you focus on him. That's this idea of choosing your attitude, finding the good in the bad. It's where you begin, right, the chaos, the externals, everything out there, you hone in on that good thing, right? As you hold it in your hands, you go, oh, there's that good thing. And it might be tiny, it might be small, but it's what can continue to move you forward, give you meaning, give you that why. Why should I go on? Because for me, the thing I had to wrestle with, and this is really what changed a lot of my life, of why wouldn't I choose to find the good so that I can rejoice always, right? Why choose to find the bad so I can be ungrateful, mad, and angry all the time? Why not switch and say, okay, this is awful. I can't control it. I'm going to choose to find the sliver of good in this so that I can rejoice, that I can give thanks, and I can begin to move forward and heal and find peace. Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for this first ever video episode of Dad Talks. Again, if you're listening, we hope you go check it out. Link is in the description. And until next time, we'll see you guys then.